Our epistle for the second Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 to 13. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, even as Christ has received you to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise thee among the Gentiles, and I will sing to thy name." And again he says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 10. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answering said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized at me." Then as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee.'" Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, on the second Sunday of this liturgical year, we are given some reminders and some encouragements that are beneficial for us to pay attention to. First is the importance of spiritual reading, especially reading of the Scriptures. Far too many people, they do all sorts of reading, but where it concerns the Scriptures, they don't give it too much time during their day. Some might say, "Oh, the Bible's so big, what am I to read?" Well, Holy Mother of the Church presents to us each day of the year Scripture. If you just pull out your missal and read the Scripture that is there for the Mass or the feast of the day. Of course, we do not want to take Scripture and translate it ourselves. We have to translate it according to the translation of Holy Mother of the Church, the doctors and fathers of the church. But spiritual reading is one of those spiritual exercises which helps us to fulfill one of those exhortations of St. Paul about stirring up the spirit within us. When we read sacred scripture and trying to comprehend it and opening ourselves up to what is being told to us, and accepting it as God's word, now we're starting to stir up the spirit within us. And when we do that, we allow the spirit to work, and then we can only, then and only then can we start to benefit from the gifts that he brings. Of course, we have the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity are not feelings. They are virtues or gifts of the Holy Ghost. We didn't have faith. We didn't have hope. We didn't have charity except by the grace of God. And of course, these were opened to us at our baptism. Anytime we have an increase in sanctifying grace, we are open to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And when He works, then we can benefit from those gifts. They can produce beatitude and fruit. But we have to do our spiritual exercises in order for us to have the opportunity to benefit. But that's up to us. It takes a little bit of time. It takes a little bit of effort. But it's well worth it. Maybe as a family during the Advent season, we can say, no, we're going to pause our day. We're going to turn off our contraptions. And we're going to pull out sacred scripture. We're going to read. Or perhaps we'll get some books that promote certain passages from sacred scripture that are suitable to the season. When the priest prays its breviary, there's a whole slew of scriptures that he's presented with. He reads the Psalms, certain verses, certain scriptural quotes. And if you do a little research, you open yourselves up to what the church is promoting in her whole liturgy of the day, and you'll find it to be quite beneficial. So, the importance of spiritual reading as one of the spiritual exercises. Of course, another one of the spiritual exercises is penance. When the church doesn't call us to do a specific penance, but calls us into a penitential season, well, we have a choice. What are those things that we are going to give up? Or those things that we are going to do in order to make room for Christ in our heart? In order to make room for the Spirit of God to work. There has to be a self-sacrifice. There has to be a doing away with certain things, amusements, entertainments, distractions. Which brings us to my next point, and that is the questions that our Lord asks the people. What did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Man clothed in fine garments? The wind always blows, and we can be a victim of that wind of the world by even watching the news or social media or popular opinion. And oftentimes you will find when you take a step back, it has nothing to do with truth. It has nothing to do with Christ. Actually, a few times you'll find to be in opposition to Christ. Fine clothes, fashions and amusements, the things of the world. Either we are all about the things of the world or we're about the things of God. We cannot serve two masters. It's an impossibility. The third thing that we find in today's liturgy is of prophets and prophecy. In the epistle, we have the prophets given to us in general and in specific Isaiah, where he points to the root of Jesse. Jesse being the father of David, the king, who would have somebody coming through his line and that his kingdom would be there would be no end. Of course, Jesse is the fulfillment of the promise given to God by Abraham. So we have St. Paul is pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy that had been made and was fulfilled with Christ. Why? For what purpose? Just to tell us that the prophecy has been fulfilled? No, so that we can have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Either we believe He's here or He's not here. Either we believe that Christ has come and gave us a way, gives us an opportunity, or we don't. And we live accordingly, or we don't. And this is the thing. If we want to have hope, well, there's only one way to have hope. To make sure that we are one with the God of all hope. But I'd like to go to the question that John sends with his two disciples to Christ. Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Now this would seem like something has gone wrong. If you know your scripture, you know that months before, or at least weeks before, our Lord came down to where John was baptizing and was baptized by John. And as he was walking away, John pointed to the Lord and says, "Behold the Lamb of God, he who comes to take away the sins of the world." And then tells his disciples, "I must decrease, he must increase." So what of this question? Is John doubting Christ? Well, no. Is he doing it just for the sake of his disciples? To an extent, yes. Because the disciples of John had been envious and jealous when they saw the disciples of Jesus down river having their own mission. But as the disciples of John and the disciples of our Lord, there might have been conflict. There was no conflict with John and Jesus. And so this event happened. John sends his disciples. Now note the question here. Art thou he who is to come? Well, wait a minute. Didn't he already proclaim the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world? Behold the Lamb of God, he who comes to take away the sins of the world. That's him. What is this question then? Art thou he who is to come? Well, St. Gregory the Great talks about this, pauses for a second in one of his homilies and says that John knew that his time was up, that he wasn't going to be freed. He knew, because he was a prophet, that he was going to be martyred and that he was going to go to the netherworld, or he's going to go into what the church considers hell. The theological definition of hell, there's three categories of hell. You have the hell of the damned, of course, the one that we all know. The purgatory, which is called the hell of the purging. And then you have the hell of the just, which we don't know in the new law if it exists or not. It's not important. But we know in the old law that it did exist because the gates of heaven were closed. We know this to be limbo. And so this question is a question not just for the disciples of John, but for John himself. John says, "I'm your precursor. I am here to tell the people that you've come. But are you the one that's going to be coming, descending into hell before your victory over death? Are you the judge? He who will come to judge the living and the dead." He goes, "Go tell John what you've seen." And this whole list of things, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then Christ points with this answer to the cross. "And blessed is he who was not scandalized in me." The sign of contradiction gives us opportunity to pause ourselves for a moment and to draw into our mind and heart the reality, the spiritual reality we have before us, if we believe. You ever ask yourself, "Well, what would I have done if I was living at the time of Christ and I ran into Christ? What would I do? Would I be different than I am now? Would I act different? Would I treat my neighbor different if I knew that Christ was walking right beside me?" Well, wait a moment. What is it that the priest says when he turns around and holds up the host, or before he receives Holy Communion? "Agnus Dei, qui tollas peccatum mundi miseri nobis. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on me." Or, "Ecce Agnus Dei, ecce qui tollit peccatum mundi. Behold the Lamb of God, he who comes to take away the sins of the world. Now, do I really believe that, or is that just church talk to me? Makes me feel holy, and I go out and continue doing the same old, same old. Because when we walk out the church, of course, how we act in church, but how when we walk out the church and how we operate through our day and the reason why we operate will determine what type of faith we have. If our faith is a real, an absolute faith, if it's a shallow faith, or if it's no faith at all, but a facade. If you really want to know if your faith is true, you will know that your faith is true on account of what follows: the hope that you have and the love that abides in you. If your faith is not true, then you have a barrier between yourself and the things of God. Faith, hope, and charity, those are things of God. Faith is offered to us, and we have a choice to accept it or to reject it. If you don't necessarily accept it, you do reject it. And if you reject it, how you can't have hope. It's an impossibility. But if you accept it and you have hope, that stirs up within us a love, and if we continue down this course, it perfects that love and makes it grow within us. And that love is the love of God. As we approach Christmas and we are preparing our homes, first things first, let us make sure we are preparing our hearts. That we are making room for Christ in our hearts. So that Christmas Day, we get that knock, that opportunity that knocks of His grace. And we won't have to say like those innkeepers at Bethlehem, "We don't have room for you." But we will have made room for Him. And in making room for Him, we will increase in our grace and our love for God, and have that peace which He offers to men of goodwill. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions over here.